Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today is an exciting day at Watchmen on the Wall as we debut Dr. Larry Spargimino's brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. Friends, I want to encourage you to help us finish an important project. The construction of our brand new television studio is complete, thanks to the generosity of many of you. Now we need to put the equipment inside. Cameras, lights, and microphones all need to be purchased and installed. Would you please help us finish this important project? When finished, we will be able to relaunch the weekly Prophecy in the News television program and begin to film brand new programs that will highlight Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and more. Your tax-deductible gift will help us get the equipment we need to finish the TV studio and begin to produce these needed Bible-based programs. Would you please help today? You can give your gift when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Thank you for your gift to this important project. We are so close to finishing the television studio, we can start filming these needed new programs with your prayers and financial support. Please give today to the TV Studio Project. 1-800-652-1144. Here is staff evangelist Josh Davis.
Friends, we are privileged to bring you a brand new book by our host of Watchmen on the Wall radio program, Dr. Larry Spargimino. It's called The Abraham Proclamation. This book is filled with biblical truth that is current, it's relevant, it's historical, it's biblical, it's timely, and we're going to be unpacking all the truths that's contained in this wonderful new book by Pastor Larry Spargimino. Pastor Larry, it's wonderful to be with you again on Watchmen on the Wall.
Well, thank you so much, Josh. I've appreciated all the times we've spent together in conferences and in Israel.
Me too, Pastor Larry, and I'm grateful that we can serve the Lord together with Southwest Radio Ministries. I count it a true privilege and blessing and honor in my life, and I'm grateful to have you here at the ministry and serve the Lord with you. Now, this new book, The Abraham Proclamation, why did you write this? What do you hope that the reader will take away from reading this particular book?
Well, Josh, the big takeaway is that large numbers of people worldwide have rejected the truth of God's Word. Now, when you do that, you have problems. And, of course, we see multitudes are suffering because of that. So God has a plan for Israel and her people, and disregarding that plan and acting against it always will produce confusion, chaos, and death. I know that God has a plan for the Palestinian people. He loves all. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I believe that for all people, including the Palestinians. So I would hope that my book would drive people back to the Bible, because that's where the answers are. And not only are there answers, but there's power. There's transforming power. When you get into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit anoints, empowers you, illuminates your brain, your mind, your spirit. It's just such a wonderful thing to get into the Word of God and to hear the truth. So that's really what I hope to accomplish by this book.
Well, I certainly think that you did, because, you know, part one is thoroughly biblical as you explain who Abraham is and why he is important. Maybe it'd be good for you to explain to our listeners. This book is in two parts. There's part one and part two. Explain a little bit about what is part one about and what is part two about.
Part one deals with Abraham. We look at the chapters in Genesis that record the story of Abraham, the people he interacted with, his strengths and his weaknesses, his wife Sarah and her suggestion that Abraham father a child with Hagar. Certainly a great example of how things do not and cannot work when we depart from God's plan. I think there's so much in the story of Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, I look at that very carefully. Abraham's willingness to offer Isaac, Abraham's son, whom he loved and who was a miracle baby, raises issues that theologians and philosophers have written about for centuries. And I deal with some of that. In part one, I deal with the biblical text. And then part two focuses on the tragedy of October 7th and following. What does the Bible really say about the land of Israel? Does the Bible really teach that all of God's promises to the Jewish people have already been fulfilled? Or does the Bible teach that there are many promises to Israel that yet remain to be fulfilled? There's much more, I believe, as we read the Bible, that God has much, much more for Israel. So in part two, we look at all of the issues that have come to the surface on October the 7th. Of course, these issues have already been around for a long time, but they seem to have exploded with the tragedy of October the 7th and following. And then in part two, we look at anti-Semitism, its proponents, and its evil. Part two looks at the question of the so-called two-state solution and why I believe it will not work. In part two, we also look at God's work among the Palestinians. They are a group of people whom many love to hate, but I also talk about the gospel and its work among the Palestinians, and that's something that some people are not aware of. Jesus is working even today in the Palestinian territories as he's working in Egypt and Pakistan and in other places. And I think as we consider his amazing work with the Palestinians, we can have a positive outlook. In fact, I love your book on globalism because you have a positive outlook, and your presentation in Wichita was really excellent. And I think by studying what God is doing today in Muslim countries is very positive, very hopeful, and certainly a mighty incentive to evangelism and mission. So in part two, I apply the biblical truths revealed in part one to our current situation. And it's so important that we go from the text of Scripture, as I deal with in part one, and then we move to the application and how it is working out in today's world. And of course, it's working out in a very dramatic way today, in today's world. And I think that's very exciting for the Christian, for anyone who believes the Bible, to understand the news behind the news. We have keen insight, not because we're special, but because we're saved and we believe the Bible. It is the Word of God.
Amen, Pastor Larry. And friends, we are visiting with Dr. Larry Spargimino. Today we're introducing his brand new book. It's so timely. It's called The Abraham Proclamation. You can pick up a copy by calling us at 1-800-652-1144 or go online to swrc.com. That's swrc.com and get your copy of The Abraham Proclamation today. Pastor Larry just hit on a whole lot of topics, and over the course of the next couple of programs, we're going to be unpacking that in greater detail and explaining some of the teaching that comes out of this book. But we encourage you to order your copy today. Again, it's called The Abraham Proclamation. You can call us at 1-800-652-1144 or visit swrc.com. Pastor Larry also has a couple of other wonderful books, Calvinism on Trial and Preterism on Trial. You can get all three books, including the brand new Abraham Proclamation, for a special price at swrc.com and 1-800-652-1144. Pastor Larry, as we look into some more of the content of this book in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we see that there's a central verse that's central to the message of the whole Bible. This verse tells us at the end of the verse, "And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Tell us about those words at the end of verse 3.
Well, thank you, Joshua, because I really believe Genesis 12:3 is central, especially those words, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." If a person is not very familiar with the Bible, those words just seem to be a statement of God's kindness and mercy, and of course it is that. But it includes so much more. So let me kind of unpack or unravel what we find in those words. And of course, that comes from seeing those words in the context of all Scripture. And of course, we know that the whole Bible has basically only one author, God the Holy Spirit. So I think this is a very, reputable and satisfactory way of approaching a text of Scripture. So first of all families of the earth will be blessed through the coming of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus is also of the stock of Abraham. So the Abrahamic covenant is the fountainhead, the source, the root of God's plan of redemption for both Jew and Gentile. Truly, in thee, in Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. And then secondly, these words, which are a promise, pertain to Israel and the Jewish people. They've been chosen by God to be a blessing to the whole world. The Hebrew prophets, the human authors of the Scriptures, basically come from the Jewish people. Moreover, Jesus, according to his humanity, was a Jew. This Jewish Son of God came with a universal mission. So we learn so much in this second aspect, a promise pertaining to Israel and the Jewish people. But then we also notice that those words include God's special blessings upon Israel, but the blessings do not stop with Israel. God's love is not just for Jews. The Jewish people are to be a conduit, a means of conveyance through which God will bless the whole world. In Abraham, all the families of the earth will indeed be blessed. And we see this in Peter's message to a Jewish audience in Acts 3, verse 25 and following. It says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first," notice that, to the Jew first, "unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities," close quote. So God has not forgotten Israel, nor has God forgotten his love for the whole world. Now, you know, Joshua, some people complain and say the Bible is a racist book. God only loves Jews and no one else. I've heard it said, according to some, that premillennialism is a racist eschatology. Now, of course, that's a total misrepresentation of what Scripture teaches. God demonstrates his love for the whole world through the Jewish people. I want to give an illustration. You know, our government spends a lot of money on the training and the equipping of a single soldier. I don't know what the exact amount is, but lots of money is spent on a single soldier. Someone could say, oh, that's not fair that all that money is spent on one person. That shows favoritism. But just think about it. All that money is spent on the soldier, not just for the benefit of the soldier, but for the benefit of the whole nation. So in the same way, God has blessed the Jewish people, not just so that they could be happy, but that the whole world would be blessed. You know, when I left amillennialism for premillennialism, my amill friends would chide me and say, oh, you believe that grace is tied to genes? And my answer is, no, I don't. Grace is tied to the redemptive wisdom of God. And so the Apostle Paul, who is Jewish, expresses this very clearly. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Jews don't have just special blessings, but they do have a special mission, the whole world. And some people think the Bible is racist. It's not. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people are very accountable to God and will be punished for their disobedience. Amos 3 verse 2 says, "You only have I known of all families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." I think even among a lot of Christians today, replacement theology and so forth really misrepresents the Bible and really misunderstands what we believe. And I think that's so important. Sometimes your enemies will say things about you that is not at all true. So I pray that this book and the studies in biblical prophecy about Israel will clear up a lot of the confusion.
Well, thank you, Pastor Larry. And you mentioned the book of Romans, and we're going to come back to that because it does use Abraham as an example in chapter 4. Friends, you're listening to Pastor Larry Spargimino talk about his brand new book. It's available from swrc.com and by calling us at 1-800-652-1144. The book is called The Abraham Proclamation. We encourage you to pick up your copy. And as Pastor Larry said, part one deals with the person of Abraham. It's a thoroughly biblical book, and then part two applies those truths to the current events that we see happening in our world today. This book is so timely, it'll clear up a lot of confusion that you have, and so we encourage you to pick up a copy of this today. Again, it's called The Abraham Proclamation, and you can order it at swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. And we do have a special offer to get this brand new book along with two of Pastor Larry's most recent books, Calvinism on Trial and Preterism on Trial. That'll explain some of the pitfalls of preterism, some of the pitfalls of Calvinism. You can get all three for a special price when you contact SWRC today. Now, Pastor Larry, going back into the book of Romans, in chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul refers to Abraham and to his faith, and uses that as a powerful example to illustrate salvation. So what did Abraham do that made him this perfect example of the kind of faith that justifies a person?
Well, Josh, that's really a good question. Abraham is a perfect example of justifying faith. In fact, Romans 4, verse 2 says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Abraham believed God when God said he would have many descendants. Genesis 15, 5 and 6 reveals that God told Abraham to look to the heavens and count the stars if he could. But there are so many that they can't be counted. And God says, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And so Genesis 15, 6 says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abraham was considered righteous by God because he believed what God said about his descendants. So Abraham and Sarah were getting old and getting beyond the years of childbearing, but Abraham believed what seemed to be impossible, and God considered Abraham because of his faith as being righteous. You know, Joshua chapter 4 of Romans was really a critical passage of the Scripture that I was basically saved on, because I had some really strange ideas about works and so on and so forth. And I remember the pastor that I was visiting with, and who was very patient with me, used Romans chapter 4, and he also pointed to Genesis chapter 15. And I marvel at the grace of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And it's true. There is nothing that we can do that would really please God. We could promise God $1 million. We could say, well, I'll clean up my life. We could say, I'll be a missionary. I'll do this or that. The Bible tells us that even our best works are as filthy rags. So God in his wisdom, love, and especially his mercy said this: what you have to do is put your faith in Jesus. And that's really beautifully illustrated in Romans chapter 4 and in Genesis 15.
Yes, Pastor Larry, I think that Abraham and this aspect of the life of Abraham is one of my favorite to think about and meditate on, because Paul picks up on it again in the book of Galatians, and we see him refer to that over and over and over again, using Abraham as this example of someone who believed in God and was justified by faith. His circumcision came way after God declared him righteous, and was just an outward sign of the transformation that had taken place in his heart. It's a powerful example of how faith produces works as you follow God by faith, and the kind of justification by faith alone and Christ alone through grace alone. And Abraham is a great illustration of that. Friends, we're visiting with Pastor Larry Spargimino and discussing his brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. Pastor Larry, the title of this book is The Abraham Proclamation, but what did Abraham proclaim, and why is it important that we understand what he proclaimed?
Well, when I speak about the Abrahamic proclamation, I'm referring to the Abrahamic covenant. It is a proclamation, a statement to the whole world, you might say, underlining in red ink, God's plan. That's why it's so important. Now, the proclamation really includes three parts, and I'm speaking, of course, about the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 15. First of all, it is a statement of God's plan for the Jewish people. Very clear. And we're going to say some more about that, but it's a statement of God's plan for the Jewish people. Secondly, it is a statement of God's plan for the land of Israel, that special land. I know when you go there, it looks kind of arid and dry and so forth, but God has a special claim on that land. And I should know a lot about it, but I feel when I start scratching around, I'm just on the surface. I've got much more to learn. And so I would encourage our listeners to study the scripture. And I think this book, the Abrahamic Proclamation, will do a great deal for helping the reader to get into the central feature of the amazing love and grace of God.
Well, friends, it will do just that. And we're visiting with Pastor Larry Spargimino as he's discussing his brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. You can pick up a copy by calling 1-800-652-1144. Or by going to swrc.com. Now, Pastor Larry, we're back in Genesis 15, and we're talking about how God established this covenant, this proclamation with Abraham that would extend throughout the rest of human history. And we're going to come back on the next program and talk about whether or not it's still in force. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the ratification ceremony for the Abrahamic covenant? Like it's presented in Genesis 15, where there's animals that are cut in two and a column of fire passing between these severed animals. In our modern conceptions, this is totally foreign to us. Why don't you explain what is happening here? Why is this done the way that it's done in Genesis 15?
Yes, that's a great question. And I know as a young Christian, I read this and I said, wow, that's really strange, cutting animals in half and it's getting dark and a pillar of fire. What does that mean? Well, that's the way they ratified treaties and covenants. God told Abraham to take several animals, cut them in half. He laid the halves side by side. After the sun went down and darkness covered the land, Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. Verse 18 said, "In that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham." Now, what did all that mean? Well, like I said before, that was the way a covenant or a treaty or some kind of an agreement between kings was made. It was common practice. Now, that's why it seems so strange to us. We don't do business that way. We get an attorney. We get something notarized, we have a witness, and so on and so forth. But that was the way they ratified an agreement. So if two nations made a treaty or a covenant, the great king, the suzerain, would make a promise to a lesser king, who is called the vassal. If the lesser king promised to give the great king 100 sheep, and the great king promised to protect the lesser king from invasion, the great king would walk between the halves of the animals. And so in this way, he was saying, if I break my agreement with you, may the gods cut me in half, just like these animals are cut in half. In the Abrahamic covenant, God is the great king. The pillar of fire that passed between the animals represented God. God was making a promise to Abraham, just as a great king would make a promise to a lesser king. And when I study this, I think of Clayton Van Hus and he's a great apologist in archaeology and in the practices of the ancient world. This is one of those examples. What did all this mean? Well, oh, now we understand. Wow. Now God was actually taking a curse upon himself. If he would break the covenant, if that happened, of course it wouldn't happen, but if it did happen, he was testifying to all, to the whole world, that I will be faithful. I love Abraham. I love my words. I love the Jewish people. I love the Gentiles. I love the world. Oh, this is so dramatic and so important. If we study archaeology, if we study Bible history, if we even have the privilege of studying Greek and Hebrew and some of the other ancient languages, it is an eye-opener. And I know a lot of times people say, well, you just read the Bible, you don't need to know much. No, I think, yes, we need to trust God, but the more we learn about the Bible, about Bible times, about Bible archaeology, about theology and what it all means, we will be richly blessed. And of course, Southwest Radio Church is trying to do that, to disseminate this amazing information from the Word of God.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Pastor Larry, because if we don't understand what is behind these symbols, then we're really going to miss a lot of rich truth. So I thank you for explaining that. Friends, tomorrow we're going to pick up on this important conversation as we look at the Abrahamic covenant. Is it still in force today? What about replacement theology? What about what happened on October 7th? We're going to unpack this more and more as we continue to discuss this brand new book with Pastor Larry Spargimino that he's written. It's called The Abraham Proclamation. You can pick up your copy today at swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Pastor Larry, I look forward to continuing this conversation with you tomorrow.
Yes, I'm getting warmed up for tomorrow.
The tragedy in Israel of October 7th has touched off a firestorm of confusion. The confusion can be dissipated by looking to Scripture to see what God says about Israel, the Palestinians, and which side Christians should be on. The Abraham Proclamation takes the reader back to the Bible. What does the Word of God say about this hot topic? Pastor Larry Spargimino examines the Abrahamic covenant, its promises, and its fulfillment in the brand new book, The Abraham Proclamation. He deals with replacement theology, the Catholic Church's position, the Biden administration's waffling, and the Lord's amazing conversion of former Palestinian terrorists. The Abraham Proclamation, Hamas, Apostate America, and God in Conflict provides both information and inspiration to the reader, and will be a helpful resource for pastors, Sunday school teachers, and all who want to be informed. Order your copies of the Abraham Proclamation today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. The Abraham Proclamation, by Dr. Larry Spargimino. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Pastor Larry will continue examining Hamas, Apostate America, and God in Conflict. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by visiting oneplace.com. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.